Thank you.
Yeah, my name's Liam. I'm an addict.
Hi, Liam.
God, I'm really nervous. Well, I've just... them readings seem to fly. I don't know really what I'm going to talk about. I'm just going to sort of just ramble, I think, for 30 seconds and then hopefully start to feel a little bit better. But it's been really nice, you know, people sort of giving me sort of little nods and winks and stuff like that, people that I know, and trying to sort of help me through it. But I had a text from a guy, and it's all I've got is really my experience. And been a bit of a stressful week. I've been moving this week, and I moved on Tuesday, and it was just a sign to me, you know, like how my life sort of changed through coming here, really, because moving out of my old place, I waited for the landlord to come, and I spent like a couple of hours cleaning the room, and I emptied all out, hoovered, and I cleaned, I made it all really nice and presentable, and did it all properly. The landlord came, and I gave him the keys, and I just did things a little bit differently. Usually in my life, I just sort of ran from place. I just did a complete runner, owed money, and just left possessions there. I just took, there've been loads of times in my life where I just literally took what I could afford to, carry in two bags, and I just had to run, through one thing or another. And this time I did it all properly, and I moved, and gave the keys back to the landlord and lived it all presentable. And it was just a sign, that bit of honesty, trying to do things differently. I still owe him some money, so not everything's changed. But I'm hoping to, I haven't got it, so I'm hoping to, I've just got to be honest, and when I have got it, I'll have to pay it to him when I can. But that's one of the reasons I moved out, just because I couldn't afford it and it wasn't practical, so I had to move out. And I just spent the day with my little cousin today, took him to the pictures, and took him to London and dragged him around the National Gallery for 20 minutes. He didn't want to be there, but I just force-fed him into pictures, like, look at that, if he liked it or not. And then he met his dad, and then he went home, and then I met my sponsor and then came here. So, it's nice to be here tonight. I came to this meeting, I've sort of struggled with this meeting sort of over the years. I've struggled with the amount of people and the sort of beforehand and afterwards. It's quite a social event, and I struggle around it all in my head, but I do make an effort sort of to come here every now and again to try and work through that, and just like it's a lot better than what it used to be when I was early on. And it's just weird, like a year later I'm sitting here doing the chair. I just didn't really ever think that was going to happen, so it's mad how things go. But coming to this meeting, I've picked up my, I think I picked up a white key ring here, and cracked on. But I talk about my using, I suppose, for a little bit. My using was just, grew up, knocking about with my mates, and it was all pretty normal sort of laddish stuff, going through all the drugs you go through at school, then going out raving and partying when I was like 15, and getting into all that. And then my mates, mum and dad, owned a pub, so from about 14, 15, I got introduced to that pub world quite early on, quite young. And I loved it, I loved being around pubs, and I loved the sort of adult way that sort of got brought, got quite mature quite quick, and we sort of all, learned sort of, the underworld that goes on. And, I enjoyed it, and, I spent a big, large majority of my time in pubs, I recently had to do like a life story from my as part of my step one, and what it was clear to me is like how many years I spent sort of like trying to run away from this, either trying to run away from or fight this illness, or at other periods just succumbing to it, where I was just like, I'm not even bothered, just periods of like long periods of time, years, where it was just a constant like having a tick bill, paying the tick bill off, and I was like 18, 19, and it wasn't really very normal to just have these tick bills, and just constantly, that was my life, was just, using like that, and just like, you know, going and just how many jobs I'd lost, how many, you know, I'd moved all over the country. I'd moved to Scarborough, and I'd have to get away from there because my using was on top. I spent time living in Nottingham. I had a good job. I was working as an electrician, shop fitting all over the country, and I was about 19, and I just like, I messed it up just due to my using. I just unmanageability. I didn't have any control over my life, and like what it became clear to me through writing that was just how much I was either trying to run away from my illness or succumbing to it or trying to fight it, because like I could sort of go away somewhere and maybe, you know, I'd think that if I'd try and stay clean and I'd maybe go running for a couple of weeks and I'd think, yeah, I was doing all right, and then slowly but surely I didn't have any control over that first thought to pick up one substance or another. It didn't matter what it was. That was my using. I spent a lot of time trying to get clean and then always sort of ended up folding through one thing or another. I ended up moving back down to London when I was about 25 from Scarborough, and that was another fresh start. And I was living in Scarborough, and I thought I thought the answer to my problems was to get a decent education, get a job, and earn some decent money, and then I wouldn't have all the problems. You know, I'd be able, that would solve it. And so I thought I'd come to London. I got this foundation degree in engineering, and I'd started it in September, and then by December I was back using with this girl that I used to smoke with, and you know, it was just all going downhill again. And then just before that, I just started using with this girl again. I'd met this other girl, and I'd said to her, we were seeing each other, and we were using, and it was all quite sociable, really. I thought I was falling in love with this girl, and basically I was waiting for this lump sum, these grants, to come through, because it was like January and the loans still hadn't come through, and I'd run out of money basically, and I was waiting for about seven grand to come into my account. And basically this girl that I'd been seeing, she offered to lend me a credit card until sort of like I got this lump sum in, and she said, you know, whatever you do, don't take out cash on it. And I hadn't told her that this other girl that I used to go and smoke drugs with was a bit of a secret. And one night I wasn't with Carmony, and I went off to see this other girl, Uchi, and you know, just through. I completely justified it, basically, and I still, when I first got into recovery, I didn't think I was a thief, but basically what I was doing was stealing, and I was just taking hundreds and hundreds of pounds to go and smoke drugs with. And basically she found out, and I carried on for a little while, and there was a big argument with her one weekend, and I always used to walk past this, and it was this culmination of years and years of drug use. It wasn't that particular thing, I don't think, that brought me. It was years of trying to stop and not being able to. And I used to walk past this sign, and it said, you know, do you think you have a problem with drugs? And it had the helpline, and I always used to walk past it, and with like cocky, yeah, you know, and you know, I haven't got enough drugs, that's my problem, and all that kind of stuff. And like, and basically, when I was beaten and I was broken, and I called this line. This nice, the guy that answered the calls in the room tonight, and he answered the call and got me to a meeting, and you know, I spent about 6 months trying to get clean, but I wasn't really ready to surrender or accept this way of life, really. So like a lot of white keyrings, and then you know, in November the 30th of this year, I just had enough, and I tried, and I was just willing to sort of to give this way of life a go, really. I got myself a new sponsor. I went down to a meeting down in Richmond on a Monday night, and I got a commitment sweeping up the floor. Basically, that's what I did. I just decided to give my all to this, really. I was working at the time, and I just gave that job up and decided to treat this like a job, really. I got cleaning these rooms, coming to these meetings, didn't go to treatment or anything, yeah, acknowledged in there. So I just really decided to give it a go and basically just hammered meetings for 90 days. And I still go to a lot of meetings now, but like that's what I did. I think I went to about 200 meetings or something in 90 days, really sort of hit it hard with, there was a few of us around that were just going to lots and lots of meetings. And, you know, like, yeah, just got that willingness, really. That was really important, first and foremost. And, you know, just became open-minded, really, that this stuff might work for me, because I'd always been quite closed-minded in the past, you know, about it, saying it might work for you, it might. But I'd never really... And, you know, the other thing, I had loads of things going on in my head about, like, you know, because I used to, you know, I got turned off. I used to sort of tell my own lie, believe my own bull, you know, nonsense about... You know, the fact that I wasn't an addict and, you know, I didn't really need to be here. And, you know, because, like, I'd hear people saying, you know, I'm a proper addict, you know, like, oh, I did this, you know, I injected in my eyeball daily, you know, stuff, you know. And, you know, and, like, and I'd think, oh, God, do I need to be here, really, you know? And that's why I think the literature is really important for me as well. That's why I love, you know, it's important for me to read the literature, because it differentiates between, like, fellowship and all that stuff, which is really important, and it is important to hear people's experience. But it tells me in the book, you know, that, you know, and it says it in the readings, you know, we don't care what or how much you used or who your connections were and all that kind of stuff. And it's just about, you know, it's about your problem and what we can do to help it. And the fact was, you know, like, it was written all the way through my life story that I had a problem with drugs and that I couldn't manage my own life. And I did have an inability to accept personal responsibilities. And if for any other reason, that was my ticket and that was where I earned my seat, really. So... And I have to keep reading that literature because I've got a head that'll tell me all kinds of nonsense and tell me that I don't need to be here and that I'm all right, or it was, you know, I can only just be here for a few years and all that. But it's all nonsense, you know. I'm really glad, you know. I think, you know, doing that service commitment, because, like, the other thing in my life, which was apparent, was, like, all the... I did that sweeping up at Richmond for, like, 8 months... And I'd never kept a job for 8 months in my life, but I managed to keep that one, you know. And then I left that commitment and I've got myself a commitment now. I'm a greeter there now. And, you know, I'd really try and turn up consistently and do that. And it's been really important for me to feel... Because what that actually did is made me, through turning up at that group, which is, you know, I'm really lucky to have that group, is that, like, I felt part of the fellowship. I was confident enough to go to other meetings and stuff like that, and it really helped me, you know. And getting a sponsor, someone to sort of run my decisions past and to sort of spot my own deluded thinking and all that kind of stuff was also really important. Just that ability, just to, you know, there was loads of slogans and stuff like that that used to really sort of do my head in, and, you know, I used to hate seeing them on the wall, you know, like, you know, think, and, you know, live and let live, and all this stuff. It used to really jar me, but they're all there for a reason, and I can see that, you know, now, and that Just For Today thing, I really have to practice that, really, every day. I have to practice that, because... you know, I've got an ability to sort of think ahead into the future, and I always sort of say this in chairs, but, like, I constantly look to the future, and my future is full of fear if left unchecked, and, you know, it's full of doom and it's full of gloom. And actually, when I can think just for today and just try and think what I've got to do in the moment, you know. It allows me to just put action in, and then consequently, when I get further on and I make decisions, I see that things are all going to be okay. And you know, I'm still here. You know, I still come to meetings regularly, and through that, I get hope. You know, that because not always my life hasn't necessarily gone always the way I wanted it, but, you know, I've just been. Got somewhere to live, and I've got sort of hope, and I've got a bit of faith that through sticking here, you know, I'm going to be all right. And and that's why it's important for me to keep coming, because if I don't, you know, my thinking will go back to everything's shit and what's the point. you may as well go and use, you know, that's where my head will go back to. I'm pretty confident of that. So, you know, I'm really grateful to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. And, you know, so, yeah, I'll, and, you know, I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And, yeah, I think I'll leave it there. Thank you.